Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here together, worship together, be encouraged, and look into God's Word. I appreciate you taking the time to pray for these people in conflict in Ukraine, Christians there. We have some relatives there, and we get updates from time to time. And a lot of things we don't understand. But let's always keep that close, to keep praying for them. It's one of the few things we can do. It seems like we're so helpless to do anything. But we can pray. And that's actually the best thing we can do, that God can move for peace. Well, some weeks feel like vacation. There's not a lot going on. It's a good week, and everything goes like we had planned. And some weeks feel like war. The mortars fall pretty close. The devil's within range. Maybe there's even some friendly fire. And I felt like I found myself in one of those weeks this week. And I thank you for your patience and your prayer. And I think we found resolution to some of those things. But I do seek an interest in your prayers. And so I'd like to take a message this morning from something that inspired me during the Salt and Light courses. One of the evenings as we talked, we started talking about treasure in heaven. And a few of them sounded like they were just a little bit vague on what this might be and how this works. And I thought, well, we bring this into a lot of messages, but maybe we don't speak about this specifically. So maybe we should talk about this morning. And so I started doing a little work on thinking about the transfer of wealth. And if you want to write down a message title for this morning, write down transfer of wealth. I'd like to look at this. And in the classes, we're specifically talking about using, you know, U.S. dollars and cents. How can you save? How can you use what you have? How can you use the resources you have to better your life? I'm not knocking that at all. It's a good thing. But there's a lot more than that to it. And I can already feel that teaching coming through in the course, that it's more than just about these dollars and cents. It's about your life and how are you using it. And I think as it goes on, there'll be more and more of that. So that's probably more the spiritual side of it is where we'll focus on this morning. But on a whim, I took a minute to Google wealth transfer. And what does wealth transfer look in the world today? And where is the world looking for wealth to be transferred? And I found things like this. One of the first things that popped up was the baby boomer generation is dying off. Their wealth will be transferred to their children over the next number of years, to the tune of probably $68 trillion, I think it said, that's going to be transferred from parents to children over the next number of years here. And how to get your share was one of the first things that came along with it. A lot of websites as to what to do, how to get your share of this, how to get it from the baby boomers. Then there were a number of other sites that talked about wealth transfer from one generation to another, not specifically with this in mind, but, you know, financial planners, estate planners, and their advertising for their services, how to avoid taxes that go along with the transfer of wealth, how to make sure it's given to your children in such a way that they don't just waste it. Those kind of things, a lot there. And I found it interesting. But one of the things that happens when you start typing into Google, and I suppose you all know because you've used this one somewhere along the way, is there's other things that'll pop up, like words to finish your search out. And one of the things that popped up almost immediately that caught my attention was, I typed in transfer of wealth, and it said in the Bible. And so after I was done looking at the other one, I went and looked at what does Google say about transfer of wealth in the Bible. And I try to Google as little as possible when I'm studying for a message. I remember one of the brothers had challenged this a couple years ago that he says he can tell when a sermon's been Googled. And I don't know how you tell all that, but I did think it was appropriate. But I started bouncing down through some of the different articles that were there from churches and Christian magazines, and I found statements like this. Prosperity, possessing the land and expanding your borders is not man's ideas. It is from God Almighty, and it is for you today. And he wasn't writing this in a spiritual sense like we looked at in our Sunday school lesson. thought it was interesting. Some of the same verses we had read in the Sunday school lesson is coming through on this website, that this church website, that God expects you to expand your borders. He wants to give you wealth, and this is for you today. Today is the day for you to prepare yourself and your loved ones to receive the greatest wealth transfer in history, especially in the area of houses and lands. My faith for your breakthrough is strong, and I encourage you to act while the anointing for houses and lands is flowing. Increase your faith, then increase your seed level so that God can increase your harvest. Wrap your seed in mighty faith and wait expectantly, for a cascade of prosperity is about to overtake you. One of the famous evangelists had this on his website. And right in there, he talks about how you need to increase your seed level so God can bless you. And conveniently, right below it, you know what it was. Donate here. Donate here. And I just, okay. Is this how we're supposed to check the box of wealth transfer? Is this how we transfer wealth from ourselves to our next generation, or from us to our children? Is the first step for us this morning to get all we can? And that's what he's saying here. Get all you can. Here's your opportunity. And there was just a little bit more here. I don't want to stay too long on this part of it. Another place I read it said, for example, we need to come up with inventions that we can sell to the wicked. We need to start businesses that we can make money off the wicked. We need to take advantage of e-commerce, just like great men in the past were on the cutting edge of the steel, the oil, or the railroad industries. We need to be alert to what is making people rich and jump on board early on so we can use it for the kingdom. We can transfer wealth from the wicked to the righteous. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. Is this the transfer of wealth that we're talking about this morning? And one of the key verses, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. I'll read it for you. It's not my text verse, but it's one of the key verses they use. They give to back up their thoughts. It's one of the verses at the top every time. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, I don't know where all the other verses are from the New Testament, but this is a verse from Proverbs, and this verse has its place, and we could go on and explain it, but just for example, that's one of the verses they twist to use. Also, the other year, one of my brothers called me when the PPP loans came around. He asked me if I'm taking them, and I said, well, I don't need it. So no, I'm not going to take it. I'll leave it for somebody that needs it. And I said, I didn't spend a lot of time outside of that because everybody was staying home and they were fixing up their yards, including trees. So we had plenty of work. It wasn't a problem. But he had a friend that was trying to convince him to get these funds. And my brother wasn't sure that he wanted it because he didn't want something with strings attached and he wasn't sure what it was. He didn't really want assistance from the government, but his friend was persistent. It was a Protestant friend of his, and he says, the government, the liberal lawmakers, they take our taxes, our money, all the time, and they spend them on wicked causes. They put money towards war, abortion, unrighteous education, and all kind of other things that we can't support. Here's our chance to get our money back and use it for the kingdom. Is this what wealth transfer is about? Is this what we're looking for this morning? Let's get our money back. And let's use it for God's kingdom. Just to give a little perspective, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is how we're supposed to view wealth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Read a couple verses here. You can turn here. It's right after Proverbs. I had to remember where it was. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 13. And I'll read down to verse 16. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of this labor which he may carry away in his hand. This also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that laboreth for the wind? All his days shall he eat in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath in his sickness. So I found these verses interesting as well. Namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. And exactly what these authors and people were promoting was gathering up riches, getting for yourself, yes, spending them on the kingdom, but let's get all we can while we can. Let's go get it. And he says here, riches kept for their own, to the hurt of their own owners, that you're hurt by the money which you collect. So travail that he found. And yet, in the end, you leave with nothing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You could say, we came with nothing, we leave with nothing. This is so pointless, so pointless. And I used to tease my brother-in-laws about this vicious cycle, and I may have mentioned here before, I don't know. But I used to tease them, because they were all, when we were first married, of course I was 20 and they were young, now they're in their 30s and running the family farm. But I used to tease them, okay, so what are you doing here? You plant the corn, you bring it in, you feed the cows, then you take the manure and you take it back out to the field again. And then you plant the corn and you harvest it, you bring it in, you feed the cows, and you take it back out to the field again. What a cycle. And you can get very, what's the word I'm looking for? Cynical about all this. But there is a point. Those cows are producing milk, and that milk we can drink. And there is butter and cheese and cream cheese and sour cream and all these good things that we like to eat. You name it, it comes from ice cream. It comes from cows. And so the whole process of life is not pointless, this process. And so when we look at our lives ourselves, this whole process of going through life, of being born, of learning to read, of getting an education, of holding a job, of buying a vehicle or getting a job or, you know, spending your wealth on your health and dying again and only needing 6 foot of ground to put you in can seem very pointless, except there's always something good that can come out of it in the cycle of life. It's the reward that gets transferred out of all the madness that is worth it, that is sweet, that is beautiful. What is it, and how do we do it? And who can do it? And even the poorest among us can lay up riches in glory. In fact, Jesus said that it is easier for them. Mark chapter 12. Let's read a couple verses here. Mark 12. Verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So Jesus was sitting there in the temple, and he was just observing. He was watching people coming and going. He was watching how people would come in carrying their money and what they would do with it. And I think you can imagine, if you think about the rich people and sounding a trumpet when they poured in, their coins made lots of noise. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And she called unto him, and he called unto him his disciples. He said, come over here. I want you to see this. Watch how these people are putting this money in. I want to tell you something. This woman here, she just put in two pennies into the offering. And it's worth far more than all these rich people when they came walking in. So how do you value this transfer of wealth? It's not about volume. It's not about how much money that you have. Not at all about that. It's about the sacrifice that we make. How much sacrifice can we make? Things aren't always as they seem. Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I think what he meant is a lot of these ideas that we have about life are actually flipped around when you really dig into it. There's a couple different titles we had on the chapters of our lessons in the Salt and Light class. And I used three of them, the first three, in helping us to explain how we lay up treasure in heaven, how we transfer our wealth from here to there. And the first chapter, we talked about hope and the importance of hope. I wasn't there for that, but I read the lesson and looked at it. I was there for a couple since then. But we have to have an eye that can see beyond the present. We have to have something that sees beyond our current situation that we're in. We have to look forward to something else. We have to have a hope that something else can be. And in our life today, we have to have a spiritual eye, an eye that sees beyond, you know, Smith's down the road. They bought a new car. We need to buy one too. An eye that sees far beyond that, a spiritual eye, that these physical things don't matter. They needed one. They bought one. Great. We don't need one yet. We don't need to buy one. When we need one, we'll get one. That seems beyond that. But we need to have a physical eye that sees a hope beyond this life, something spiritual beyond this life, that it's more than just the house, the car, or the business. It's actually the real value in it, that the house can actually be a home. In the home, there can be children, and you can raise them for the Lord. And in the home, you can entertain guests. You can meet people's needs. It's not just a house. It's a home. It's a place of protection, a place of comfort, a place of strengthening, a building, of nurturing, of growing. It's not just a car. It's an ability to go out and serve. It's ability to go out and provide for our own. It's ability to go out and serve people in their homes. That's what it's about. And a business is not just a place to get rich. It's an opportunity to employ others. It's an opportunity to gather so that we can give, so that we can bless other people's lives. It's an opportunity to spread the gospel. People have a need. They need a tree cut down. So we go and talk. We need a garage door installed. We go and talk to them about their need. And they tell us what they need, and we offer what we can do. But hopefully with that, we always take the opportunities to talk about the greatest need. You don't just need to shore up your house. You don't just need a new door on here. Do you have the protection that the devil can't get into your life? What are you doing about that? Or are we letting holes in our lives? And you name it. Take it from the work that you do. Learn to make those parallels and take the conversation from trees to spiritual things. I had a man tell me one time, I want to talk about the trees. I want to talk about these spiritual things. I said, well, let's talk about spiritual things first. They're the most important. Then we can talk about your trees later. No, let's not do that. Well, let's remember the most important. We need a spiritual eye that sees value in doing these things. An eye that sees the real need of transfer of wealth from physical to spiritual. And we need to see this reward. We need to have a hope for this reward. We need to have faith in this reward. So I wasn't sure which the right word was to use, whether it was hope, or whether it was faith, or whether it was believing. But all these things go along with hope. It's all one and the same. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. Probably if you don't have these underlined in your Bible, you should underline them. Luke 6, verse 35 and 36. Well, you could start sooner than that. Paraphrase of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5. I liked how he said it here in Luke. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And this is a very... If you're looking for a dictionary definition from the Bible for laying up treasure in heaven, this would be a good verse to go to. When you give, expecting nothing in return. You know, we have high expectations of each other. We have demands we like to put on each other's life. And we have expectations. You ought to be like this. You ought to be like that. But he says here that we give expecting nothing. And we're kind even when people are unkind to us. And I think we all have a lot of room to grow in that, especially me. Number two, the second thing we looked at in our lessons over there at the Salt and Light was opportunity. What opportunities do we have? If we want to save money, we need to look at the resources that we have in our hands. What do we have? What's our job? What are we making? What can we do with this money? But maybe we have talents or abilities we're not using yet. And those are some of the things we looked at. Maybe there's a way I find myself in financial straits. Maybe there's an opportunity I'm not finding yet. That's the physical side of it. But it goes right over into the spiritual side. You know, on the physical side, we want to take what we earn, want to be careful with it, we want to save, we want to invest it wisely so that we have it when we need it instead of just getting a $5 drink every morning and halfway through the day and again in the evening. On the spiritual side, so it is with laying up treasure in heaven. There are opportunities all around us, and we need to find these opportunities, take these opportunities, and use them. Are we letting things slip through our fingers all the time, and we're not thinking about it? Do we spend, you know, a lot of time, say, reading a book every day, or spend a lot of time on the news? That's one for me. Reading. Whenever we are forgetting about the people around us that are the needs we can actually do something about, instead of we're focusing on these things that we can do nothing about, and it's driving us crazy. So what are we doing about these opportunities around us? Luke 12:23, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. So what is it? If life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment, then what is it? What's else? Mark chapter 10. Let's read a couple verses here. Mark 10:17-23. These are like, there's just so many verses in Jesus' teaching that talk about our possessions and these things, and that you don't find on some of these websites that are like some of the biggest churches in America. I did find some good ones though. I don't want to throw them all under the bus. Mark 10:17. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. This thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You could also say passions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Here is this man. He had so much, and he was so righteous and so good, but he was living for himself, and it was a really, really, really tough call. We can be so righteous and so good and come to church every Sunday morning, and yet we can be living for ourselves. So what are these opportunities that we have? And probably the first two I'll just go over quickly because we talk about this pretty often, but we have time that we can give to people. It's an opportunity that we have, time. How are we spending it? How are we wasting it? So often on Sunday afternoon, it's easy to sit down and take a nap. But you know, that's actually one of the more free times I have during the week. I've actually been able to reach out to somebody and do something for somebody. Aren't Sundays supposed to be a day of rest? You know, a time to, instead of spending it on myself and my rest, to spend it on somebody else's rest, which is spiritual rest. And the second thing I have is money. What are we doing with it? What are we giving away? Do we give first? Is there a minimal amount that we have in our heart that we will always give no matter what? That's what they were required to do in the Old Testament. Are we spending it on ourselves? We know these things. We hear them pretty often. But what are some other ways, some other opportunities we have for laying up treasure in heaven that maybe we're not thinking as much about? And the third one that I have is simply example or influence. We all have a certain measure of influence and example in other people's lives. And I am convinced that there are men in heaven right now that are enjoying reward for their good works because of the example and the influence that they had on my life. And whether it was a grandfather or whether it was older men in the church, one passed away recently, I certainly wanted to get to his viewing and tell the family how much it meant to me, because he was one of those people that had the time to talk, to tell stories, talk about life experiences, and he influenced me for the kingdom. He really did. And this is one of the things that we can do. And you know, oftentimes this costs so little. It costs so little. Maybe we don't even ever say that much to the individual, but our life, the way we're living, it's an example, a consistent example. And people see it, and they follow Christ because of it. And it lays up treasure for us. So let's be careful about our example and about our influence that we leave. Another way that we can lay up treasure in heaven is our skills. There's a lot of different gifts here. You know, we've all learned things from other people. And we can take what we know and we can teach somebody else and they can become a better person by it. And what skills do we have? What can you do? Some of us know how to cut trees down. Some of us can build cabinets. Some of us can make good food. Some of us can go down the list. Think about it in your own life. Make an inventory. So what do I know how to do? What can I do? Is there someone around me that I can teach, you know, how to read or how to repair something or how to build something or how to do something? I can better their life and it can be treasure in heaven for me. So let's not forget about that one. Another one that I wrote down here was wisdom. You know, we can know how to do a lot of things. But do we know how to do them in the right way? The longer we live, the more experiences we have. And it seems like the less we talk. And it doesn't make us any better than anyone else because we're older or because doesn't make us any higher. But it does make us more responsible. The more we learn, the more we know, the more we can make a difference. And I think it's right for us to tell people, to open our mouth, to talk about it, to engage in conversation, to say, this is how you can use this so that you get a right reward from it. And this is how you can use it and you're going to be disappointed. And these are friends that I have and this is how they did it and this is where they are today. I've heard of children asking their parents, you know, so-and-so, they're over here, you know, how did they ever get there? Well, these were the people that we used to run around with when we were young, and these were the choices they made, and this is where they are today. It's give wisdom. What does it cost to give wisdom? Not too much. Obviously, we have to have the right attitude. We have to have the right right way of giving it, or it will not be received. What's another thing we might have in our hands that we're not using? And that is friendship. Friendship. Can you believe it that with 7 billion people on the planet, plus billion people on the planet, there's still lonely people? How does this happen? That there's still lonely people. One of the ways that we can lay up treasure in heaven is to be a friend. Think back to some of the friendships I have. And it's good once in a while to think about these friendships and think about where they started. Where's the first time you met, you know, maybe a brother that's here? Or maybe someone you know from the community. When's the first time I met them? How did that ever start? You know, this casual conversation here, something was dropped and you found something in common and you started going back to that. And after a while, you have a relationship that lasts years. Let's never underestimate the power of friendship, of a smile, a kind word, an interest in somebody else's life, even if it's something I have no interest in at all. But tell me about it. What are you doing? And ask some questions about it. And even if it's something that doesn't really interest us, they can tell us about it, and we can develop a relationship that leads into a lasting friendship that impacts both of us for life. A simple, where are you from, or what do you do for a living? Seems like questions we always ask first, but so many times they open up into something else that can go a long way. Another way that we can lay up treasure in heaven is social status. And what I mean by that is, if we can introduce people to people that we know who can help them. You know, we get into situations sometimes, and there's not nothing we can do for the situation. But by knowing them, we can help them into another relationship with somebody else. Oh, I know someone that might be able to help you with your problem. Or maybe we'll connect the individuals and with somebody else, and they can learn something, become a better person. We don't need to be possessive with their friends. We need to share them any way we can help them. So this is one of the ways we can, let's never think that someone is below our social status. We're not going to reach out to them. I'll never forget Carlos had come to the church through street work in Harrisburg. I think he became a member at Providence Congregation. And I don't know where he is today. He's back in Mexico. But he went to Bible school the same time I did, even though I was probably 18 or 19, and he was probably early 20s. And it's quite a testimony of how he came to the Lord. But one of the things that shocked me was how he would reach out to anybody. He had no social status to worry about whatsoever. And the people that I thought were more, you know, that I would have put down here, and I mean, as we automatically do that, he had no problem making the best of friends with that person. Social status meant nothing, and he was able to help people that way. We can too. In a nutshell, laying up treasure in heaven is obeying Christ and serving others, the first and second commandment. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, one of the more beautiful verses in the Old Testament, as I see it. Remember, I was at Bible school, and the teacher read this verse, and I was like, what? That's in Daniel? And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You want to lay up treasure in heaven. You want to transfer wealth. Turn people to righteousness. Turn people to righteousness. We're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. Maybe that's where they get the song, "The Stars in Your Crown." I don't know. I don't find that anywhere else. I'm thinking maybe it comes from this verse. So things stay here. Souls go with us to glory. That's why I always emphasize raising a family. It's one of the ways you can take some souls with you. Fellowshipping with other believers, reaching out to the lost. These are relationships we build that are the only thing that have value on the other side. And I know, you know, when we get up and preach on something, we always think about where we fall down in our example of this. What are some obstacles yet in this journey? The third lesson we looked at in the finances was obstacles. What are some obstacles that are things that are in our way that trip us up in our quest to lay up treasure in heaven? Philippians chapter 3, I'll read 4 verses here. Philippians 3, verse 17 to 21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example and ensample. He's saying, basically, Paul's saying, I'm trying to be an example for you. Paul was trying to lay up treasure in heaven. But then in verse 18, he says this, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here he talks about the plan, how we lay up treasure in heaven, but he also talks about some of the things that get in the way. People, in verse 18 and 19, who are walking the wrong way. One of the obstacles is if we get lost and we start going the wrong way. We can't lay up treasure in heaven if we're going the wrong way. So let's go the right way. That's one of the obstacles. Is getting ourselves lost. We don't know which way to go. I've been riding with people already, and they said, I don't know where we're going, but we sure are making good time. Making good time isn't the important thing in the Christian life. I mean, it's good. It's important to be zealous in what we do, but we have to make sure we are headed in the right direction. So we need to ask ourselves that question. Are we going in the right direction? One of the other things we see here was is selfishness. Selfishness. Their God is their belly. They're looking for good things to eat. They're bringing it all into themselves. They're bringing the glory to themselves. And it's to their shame. That's another obstacle. Our God is our belly. Also talks about minding earthly things. We're so busy with these earthly things, so busy being a Martha that we can't be a Mary. Do we have the wrong God? Are we trying to set up a pyramid scheme? We talk about these businesses that are pyramid scheme where everybody above them gets a cut and the guy at the top makes the most. Are we trying to set up a pyramid scheme where we're at the top and everybody's underneath and everybody I have influence on in my life, it's all giving me a cut out of their lives that help me out, that puts me up here? We're arranging people around us to our own advantage. Is it all about showboat? We have a game at home called Generosity. And some of you probably played a board game called Life. And this was a Christian version of the Life game where you go through the different squares and things happen to you in your life as your life progresses. And what happens throughout the game is when you have opportunities to serve others, you put money into your heavenly treasure chest. But before you put money in there, you have to draw a card. And the card, when you flip it over, says your attitude is right. Or it might say something else. And one of the things says ego trip or showboat. And you don't get to put your money in your heavenly treasure chest. And of course, at the end of the game, you get everybody's heavenly treasure chest. You see how much is in it. It's not about how much cash you have left, like most board games are. It's about what's in this little envelope. What's your heavenly treasure? So what's keeping us from putting things in this heavenly treasure and showboat, ego trip? Why are we doing these good things? Everybody, look, I just put $20,000 in the offering. Did you see this? I just donated a tractor to the mission field. Did you see this? Worthless. Doesn't go in our heavenly treasure chest at all. We have the right action, but we have the wrong attitude. That's another obstacle. Well, we have an enemy. We have Satan. Another obstacle that we have, and he does not want to see us building Christ's kingdom. Just a few more thoughts in closing. The Bible teaches us that when we try to accumulate for ourselves, houses, lands, entertainment, etc., you put the thing in there, we are being selfish. But there is one instance where we can focus on ourselves when it is not being selfish, and that is when we're trying to lay up treasure in heaven. And why do I say that? Because the only way that you can lay up treasure in heaven, in the end, is to lay down yourself and put somebody else first. So you can spend a lot of time thinking about laying up treasure in heaven, but it always comes back to the cross. How can I lay down myself and put that other person first? Nothing wrong with focusing on it, and it's not selfishness. So let's think about these things. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness! No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, sometimes when we put money into our heavenly treasure chest, it's a big lump sum. We have an opportunity, we hadn't thought about it before, and we say, I can bless this situation, nobody will know, but I can transfer what I have to the other side. We have those opportunities sometimes to contribute. And you know, sometimes it's an installment plan. Sometimes it's a little bit every day, a little bit every month. And in the end, it adds up. Talk to anybody with financial planning. You know, a little bit all the time. Don't think about trying to wait till you have something big to contribute. And that's how so many of our relationships are. It's these installment plans that put treasure in heaven, not some big lump sum that we can suddenly put there. We make a choice, and then the payment comes every month and we have to put it in no matter what. So let's invest our lives in other people, especially Jesus said the poor, those that can't give in return. Let's make choices to start relationships where we can give and give and give and grow our heavenly treasure. Heavenly treasure isn't taxed. It doesn't lose value. You can transfer this wealth. Well, I guess in a sense it costs us our physical body. It costs us some physical things. But, you know, it doesn't depreciate over time. It's always there. It's always growing. Let's look forward to this. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, again, we come before you and we thank you for investing so heavily in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for creating each one of us, for giving us the ability to do things, to live and to move and to exist in this world. We thank you, Lord, for creating this world. And Lord, we thank you, too, for working in our lives, investing in us, that we wouldn't destroy ourselves. And I pray again, Lord, that this time of study could be an inspiration to each one of us, that we go out of here looking for ways to grow your kingdom. Father, we know that we are simply instruments in your hand. You don't have the same thing in mind for all of us. But you have so many different projects that you need done. And we need not look around, but only focus on the things that you give us to do. Father, we think of those who are not here this morning because of sickness or other responsibility, serving elsewhere. Especially pray for Elijah in Bangladesh, Lord, that you would bless them again and the rest of the team there, that you would help them to lay up treasure over there. Father, we pray for the situation with Boney, that you would continue to give wisdom to those working with him, and that you would give Boney a desire to truly focus on laying treasure up heaven and not growing his earthly kingdom here. And we could go on, Lord, and pray about many things. We just pray, Lord, that we'd be able to make a difference in your kingdom today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.